Kia has just deployed what will surely be an award-winning ad to tease its upcoming new dual-cab ute. The ad is 96 nauseating seconds of your life, which can never be refunded, and it features a star-studded cast of elite sporting... well, if they were a rock band, you could probably call them the MC Has-Beens. They've all been paid, seemingly, the big bucks to sit there in a pub and engage in entirely fake banter about the worst-kept secret in modern automotive history. A feline which more or less leapt out of the bag in about June of last year, when Kia registered the name Tasman, and the deal was sealed. With a kiss, but hey, no tongue. They kept it classy. Oi, oi, oi. Unfortunately, this multi-million dollar ad, while in many ways technically brilliant and quite nicely shot around the has-beens' various hectic schedules and beautifully color graded, it just features a mediocre script at best, personal opinion, and it misses the core issue with their new ute entirely, in my estimation. It is thus one of the most spectacular and expensive wasted marketing opportunities which I have ever seen. And because I'm old, I've seen some profound marketing crap. When you think about it, missing the target is perhaps this ad's most outstanding and inspiring achievement. 20 sporting champions, mainly from the Jurassic, failing to hit the broad side of this particular barn while all standing deep inside it. Well done. I doubt anyone who worked on this ad has ever actually bought a ute. I doubt they've ever had a beer with somebody who actually owns one. It's possible, in my estimation, that some may not know which end of the hammer goes towards the nail. I would not be surprised, you know, if there were a diagram perhaps handed out by the script supervisor explaining what a ute actually fucking is. I'm Duncan Urban from AutoExpert.com.au, Newcastle cheap, Australia only, website, card. Okay, so I'll put a link to this distinctive Kia not named Tasman ad in the description, should you wish to inflict that upon yourself. Why don't you grab a vomit bag and join me back here inside a couple of minutes, dude? Up front, why are we here, right? Even talking about an ad, well, K backwards N basically begged me to do it, sort of, when they issued this press release. Kia's getting a ute. 20 Australian sporting icons come together in new launch campaign. I really don't see how an ad could easily constitute news, but okay, happy to oblige. Now, if you're not in the game, a press release is when a company invites the media to get down on its knees and suck enthusiastically on their corporate flute. It is a little undignified, frankly, especially in this case, because the only thing newsworthy that I can see about this ad is how bad it is, right down to the proposed headline, okay? Kia is not getting a ute. It's not going to be there under the fucking Christmas tree, is it? Because they've been really, really good all year and they wrote a nice letter to Santa. They're building one. They're going to sell it, okay? And these 20 people who were formerly, you know, a couple of standard deviations north of you and me at throwing or kicking or hitting something with a piece of fucking wood, whatever, generally not too flash at the maths or the English, I note, but hey, what has that ever achieved for civilization? People like this surely don't just come together like we're all here altruistically curing breast cancer or ending poverty, do they? I suspect they came because there was a big fat urn in it. wherein they pretended to give a shit about something that really doesn't matter, and which otherwise they would probably not spend a moment discussing. The entire premise of this ad is absurd. You can buy an EV if you want, that's allowed, free country, blah, 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 but it's going to depreciate to nearly nothing in 10 to 12 years, if it lasts that long. And it's not actually that effective against climate change. But for less than 20 grand, you can get a quality rooftop solar system with a battery backup. If you've already got solar, you can just add a battery. That's dead easy too. Solar's going to slash your electricity bill, add value to your house, protect you from power failures, and the battery can store the electricity that you generate during the day and divorce you from the grid overnight for a fraction of the cost of an EV. Visit autoexpert.com.au/solar now. I've just partnered with a leading Australian solar specialist. I've known the owners for years. They do hundreds of installations every month. They handle the whole thing, the rebate, the approvals, the bureaucracy, and they use only quality components from suppliers with good local support. In other words, the roof's not going to be leaking afterwards, and you won't be emailing the help desk in China if there's some problem. They'll just sort it for you. In most cases, you're going to be up and running in a day. If you don't know a kilowatt hour from an inverter, no problem. You'll get a reliable system that'll slash your power bill at least and might even be cash flow positive. It can even make your house apocalypse proof. Not only can you get seamless blackout protection, the solar array can continue to charge the battery when the power is out. That'll keep you going for days. Extreme weather events and grid instability, that's just how the future's gonna be. This is protection against that, and it's easy to do at a fraction of the cost of an EV. Nobody likes paying for electricity, I get that, and it's never gonna get cheaper. This is how you divorce yourself from that upward spiral, as well as burning the coal that goes with it. Coal is, of course, the biggest source of CO2 emission in Australia. Home solar is how you take effective climate action today. And unlike an EV, a good solar system with a backup battery will typically add many times its cost in value to your house. Visit autoexpert.com.au/solar today. Just fill in the contact form and find out how simple and cost-effective the right solar and battery system for your home can be. Okay, so the MC has-beens appear to be faking, for a fee, this speculation about a name that's already been decided. And the cat's out of the bag, everyone knows, except apparently them. Well done. And the name, let us not forget, is the least important aspect of any new car, and in particular, this new Tasman Ute. Utes can have properly nonsense names and still be wildly successful. I'm looking at you, D-Max, and your sister over at Mazda, the She-Max. Hilux is, of course, an entirely meaningless word, and that doesn't really seem to stop people buying it. The term Ranger, it's vaguely homoerotic, culturally appropriative, somewhat antisocial character from American Wild Wild West comic books. And I note this hasn't held Ford's pickup back all that much down under. Quite the opposite, in fact. The Ranger is a proper tool magnet, perhaps in spite of its name. As long as you don't call your new ute the yeast infection, you'll probably do okay with it. Mate, how's your yeast infection going? When one of your mates asks you this at the bar, it's hardly going to help you chat up the barmaid, is it? No matter how capable your new yeast infection dual cab actually is off-road, or how bitchin' it looks over there in the car park. What really matters here, in my view, and this is like, it's see it from space, obvious, is Can the Kia Tasman actually hope to take on a Ranger, a Hilux, a D-Max, even a C-Max, or a Triton? Can it do this with a straight face? Can you buy one in 2025 without exsanguinating your beer garden peer group credibility? That matters. The bottom line, the only thing anyone in the ute buying universe gives a lemon-scented frickin' urinal cake about is the Tasman going to be a real contender or some discount tryhard like an LDV? This is Kia's most important vehicle since the Stinger. Forget the morbidly obese, irrelevant EVs that they jizz all over themselves around. Australians buy a shit ton of utes. Kia is either going to ace it with the Tasman or it's going to shoot itself irreparably in the reputational junk. And the name is not a variable in that equation, at least not how I see it. Can you turn up tomorrow to a building site in a Tasman or Dingo Piss Creek towing a 3.5-ton overpriced aluminium porter slum full of your effluent without having the piss taken out of you endlessly? See what I did there? Effluent? Piss take? Dude, I'm here all week. Don't you worry about that. The Tasman is from South Korea, right? They've got no multi-decade track record of blue singlet ute building dominance, no runs on the board, no cabinet full of trophies, therefore no cred. They're up against considerable intangible ute market inertia, the entrenched beliefs of Trev and Spiro and Mazza and Brendo and Kevy and Ronnie and Abdullah. You know, Hilux and Ranger aficionados everywhere, who will doubtless seize without mercy every opportunity to label your new Tasman the latest generation Suzuki Mighty Boy or Proton Jumbuck, should it display any weakness in the ring, no matter how freaking trivial. If your Tasman drops its guard, even this much, dude, it's gonna get popped. I'll tell you, you should have bought a Musso or perhaps gone to Specsavers. Like, what are mates for? Your mates will have absolutely no mercy on this, and nor frickin' should they. This is Australia. They will buy you and your next-gen Mighty Boy, I mean Tasman, tickets to next year's Mardi Gras, should it fail in their eyes to stop the symphony and dual cab flat. And you can't stop the music, dude. Nobody can stop the music. That's pretty clear. It's almost like, I don't know, just putting it out there, they could have paid a bunch of has-beens or sporting heroes, legends, whatever, to spend a couple of days in a pub and engage in fake, scripted, snappy speculation about whether a contender with fuck-all runs on the board has a hope in hell when it jumps in the ring and decides to take on established frickin' champions. This is something such people actually understand, and they have lived it. Before they were has-beens, they were champions, and before that, they were just no-name contenders. This script just writes itself, doesn't it? And it's got cred, and it addresses the elephant on everyone's lips in the real world. Is the Kia Tasman a Hilux killer or just some B-grade ute shit heap? It's kind of important. This was the opportunity to get behind the product and make a bold statement painted on the broadside of a frickin' barn or the wall of a pub, which was missed, in my view, quite spectacularly, now that I think about it. Has-beens will talk about anything for a fee, pretty clearly. Like, if Kim Jong-un were imminently to open a chain of hairdressing salons across Australia, they'd be in like Errol, enthusiastically sitting in a pub bullshitting about whether they should call such a salon unattractive or unconventional or unexceptional. Unattractive for the win, pretty clearly, but hey, we could talk about it. I really want to know how much they got paid. I really do, individually. Was it like a flat fee for everyone, or did the bigger legends get fatter stacks of cash? Were the legendary dudes paid a little bit more than the legendary dudettes, I wonder? Was there a has-been gender pay gap? That would all be quite fun to learn. Still, actually addressing this Hilux killing or otherwise potential could be a case of committing aggravated relevance, which I'm pretty sure is a breach of the advertising agency code of conduct, and you would never win an award for doing that, dude. Unfortunately, of course, awards don't exactly sell utes, do they? Standing boldly behind the product and engaging with buyers is probably what does that, now that I think about it. And of course, it always helps if the product is not shit. It seems to me pretty clearly that Kia is obsessed with the name in the way that nobody outside the building ever could be. I suspect this is because of the potentially negative connotations. They would have had more meetings about the name than the powertrain or the suspension. The ad is a mirror into this world. It's an opportunity for us to look in at their internal, kind of fucked up dialogue. Tasman is a fine, proud Dutch Aussie name. Abel Tasman discovered a generally useless triangle-shaped island hidden under Australia on the 24th of November 1642, if memory serves, just a few weeks before Isaac Newton, the inventor of the apple, would be born. In a move that would later be categorised as feminism, Mr. Tasman dedicated that useless island to women everywhere, oppressed by the patriarchal imposition of waxing. Bastards. Even today, Tasmania, as it later became known in tribute, remains largely native bushland. We are sentimental like that, Australians, you know. Native bushland is quite okay, of course, but deforestation has increasingly become normalised. Abel Tasman, and most people don't know this either, also commissioned rather a deep trench that was dug just off the right-hand edge of the nation. And he had it filled with deep, salty water and numerous sharks so that people from the north would no longer erroneously infer that Sheep Shagistan was some kind of eastern province of the mainland. Thank you sincerely, Abel Tasman, for that courtesy. This history lesson has been proudly not brought to you by fleece grease, which is, now that I think about it, the very distillation of Middle Earth. This stuff feels lovely. It's all natural and... Dude, the smell, well, it kind of takes me back to Christchurch on that Friday night as a boy who would, you know, shortly become a man. Of course, centuries after Abel Tasman had joined the Choir Invisible, his name was appropriated and somewhat abused by British carmaker Leyland. In a half-baked attempt to break into the six-cylinder saloon market here in Shitsville, which was, of course, then dominated by the American Big Three. That was sort of half a century ago, you know, give or take. The Brits hatched a cunning plan, which would probably have succeeded were it not for all of that inbreeding among the aristocracy, as is tradition. They stuck a massive transverse 2.2-litre six-cylinder engine in the body of an Austin 1800, and the breathtakingly gorgeous Austin Tasman was born. Ladies and gentlemen, with 76 kilowatts of raw power, electrics by the Prince of Darkness himself, no headrests and cross-ply tyres. Every drive in a Tasman was a multifaceted adventure during which you really did live life on the ragged edge, especially at night in the wet. This beautiful automobile. This icon was sadly discontinued in 1974 to make way for a vastly superior successor, the astonishing Leyland P76. Imagine that, dude. Being the vehicle that gets the chop because the P76 is a better car. Kind of says it all, doesn't it? The Austin Tasman was the most Australian Leyland ever. And here we are, 50 years later, almost to the day, on the dawn of the Kia Tasman being the most Shitsvillian Kia ever. Is that serendipitous or what? This is what they don't want anyone talking about, right? Save for the name, one does hope that this is the only other parallel in this twisted tale of two tormented Tasmans. No word yet, sadly, on whether the Ranger and Hilux are urinating in their trunks at the prospect of losing their titles or sniggering behind their 16-ounce gloves at a rank amateur who thinks he's the shit but is about not to know what freaking hit him. Does Kia think that Tasman is truly a contender? Jury's out, dude. Perhaps we'll find out a little bit later.